So today, back to the drills. Three C's. Celebration. Just last week only. Connect group and core. So I asked God, I said, there is nothing new to talk about because everybody knows what I'm going to say about church celebration, about connect group, and having a core group. But as I was praying, I asked God for just one word that you would take back if you cannot remember everything else I said. But you should know what I'm going to say even before I say it, because you know everything about celebration. Some of you be in for umpteen years being a Christian, what church service is all about, what connect groups is all about. But some of us come from places you call it self group, life group. So here we call it connect group for a reason. And then you have the core or the mentoring groups. And so as I was praying, only one word that I'd like to highlight today, that is immerse. Immerse. And last week, we saw how the immersion took place a little bit different from the usual baptism because of my uncle's condition. Now, Merriam-Webster says that immerse means is to be plunged into something that surround or cover, especially to plunge or dip into a fluid. Or it could also mean being engrossed or being absorbed completely. And the original word comes from Latin. And just recently, my children say, can we tackle one foreign language for this season? I say, sure. I say, you guys don't want to learn Bahasa Malaysia? And then you ask me for a foreign language. So my children say, let's do Latin. I say, great. So I'm not a Latin teacher. So I'm reading up on how to teach Latin. So it's going to be a wonderful, fun time because a lot of English word comes from the Latin root. And so in Latin, it actually says that immerse is immerses, I-M-M-E-R-S-U-S. Immerses means in plus merge. Easy? In and then merge. Interesting. Interesting to study language as opposed to numbers. Or you say, no, that's not true, because Ken will protest, you know. So immerses in Latin means in and then merge. Plunge in into a surrounding or a covered place. To be absorbed completely. And so the picture that came as I was praying was the effervescent tablet when I was a nurse. And if I'm sent to the pediatric wards, we would have all these containers, about 1 liter container, and to disinfect all the milk bottles. And so we'll drop one effervescent tablet. If you do not know what I'm talking about, you would have drank sometime in your life the effervescent vitamin C redoxin. I'm not here to advertise redoxin. I'm just giving you visual picture. So that is the effervescent tablet that God was showing me, that as we drop in until now. And I know little children, they enjoy. And until now, I still enjoy looking at the disperse process of the effervescent tablet. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you look very, after your floorball thing. So you go, psst, and then all these gas will come out. I enjoy that simple process. How many of you like it? Or you just, thum, and then you walk away. Because I know Ashton, all my kids, every time they say, Mom, don't throw it. Let me get ready. And then they will just look at it and then look at it disperse. You know, there's something therapeutic about it. Go back and try. And that is immerse. That's going in, plunging in, and then merge together. So I was thinking today I want to bring that tablet for you, but I don't use it anymore. So, and I don't want to buy Redoxon, just one bottle, which is very costly right now. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, then just go and get Redoxon, all right? So firstly, celebration, the church celebration. Now, just last month, I was talking about relational connection. And I touched on Hebrews 10, 24, 25, that says that let us not give up meeting together. And Paul exhort us that he warned us not to be like some who has the habit of not meeting up together Why? Because verse 25 says, for the day is approaching. Remember? Remember what I say? And there is 2 points that I highlighted, because in that verse, it speaks of the power of worship and the power of encouragement when we come together in church celebration. No matter how big or how small the church is, God is there with his people. That is his promise. And it depends on how hungry and desperate you are for the manifested presence of God. Yes. You can be in a 20,000 church and still feel nothing. Not that God is not there, but I'm talking about the Shekinah glory, the manifested presence of God that you can feel tangibly, but yet sometimes it's very hard to explain. But the weight of God's glory was awesome just now. Do you agree? Because Jesus, there is no other name. No other name but Jesus. Now, church is God's idea. So why do we come to a church celebration every week? Whether you go to a Sunday church, a morning Sunday church, or an evening Sunday church, or a Saturday evening church, whatever day that church celebration is, we are coming in to celebrate the unity in Christ and with Christ. Amen. We are here to celebrate the unity in and with Christ. Because Matthew 16 verse 18 tells us that Jesus said in that verse, can we look at that? Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So church is God's idea. You cannot be a Christian and say that I shall remain at home and just worship the Lord. Just me and the Lord, that's enough. You can do that, yes. But you still have to find a local church to belong to, because the local church is the expression of God in the locality that you are and being part of the universal church. And so from beginning of time in the Old Covenant, people of God gather together to worship him in the temple. But there is a continuation even in the New Covenant in Christ, the body of Christ, the body of the believers coming together was a continuation process. The church is a collection of people, a gathering of his saints, a community who share the same goal, the same vision, the same faith, the same spirit. Amen. We celebrate the diversity of our personality, but when we come together collectively as a church, we celebrate the unity in Christ Jesus. We cannot be all one, all same kind and come in. You'll be very boring. But in the celebration of that unity, we must learn to celebrate the diversity together. Yep. It's going to be very boring if everybody looks, sing, worship, just like Selena, or everybody sings, worship like Ken, or everybody sings and worship like Peter Koo. You know, if just one of a kind. But it is a celebration, coming together as children of God, celebrating the love of God through and in Jesus Christ. That is the unity that we're coming in every week. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. At the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. At Pentecost, the believers were all gathered together in one place. That is the picture of a church. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, 22 to 23. Ephesians. Chapter 1, 22 to 23. And in him, 1:22, okay. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So God placed and appointed Jesus to be the head over the church, and the church is the body. The church cannot have no head. the church is Christ. I mean, the head is Christ. But the head must also have a body. And God put us together as that body to fulfill the fullness of God so that we can express who God is on earth. And that's why you are here, to express who God is. And we talk about being the body, that every one of us, even you are that little toe, you have a part to play. Because without that little toe, you cannot walk properly. When your little toe hurts, the whole body hurts. I have just a very small cut just here at my knuckle. And this is a place that takes a very long time to heal. Because even though it's a small cut, because I'm always washing stuff, and so it's always wet, so it takes longer than at the other parts. But even that little cut on my knuckle, it bothers me. It bothers my whole function. So maybe you're not even a little toe, you're just a little knuckle. You say, what can I do? God says that every one of us fulfill that body, and together with Christ, we express who He is on earth. And that unity through the oneness in faith and in spirit is explained in Ephesians chapter 4, 4 to 6. Now, church is not an organization per se. It is not an institution, but rather I like to see church as a family. Church is a family. We come in to celebrate God's love, God our Father. And we are children. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And it's a privilege and a blessing to be able to come and worship Him every week. So it is not out of convenience we come. I know it's very inconvenient for all the floorballers playing today to rush early in the morning to Balik Pulau Stadium and then with their stinky, sticky body, you know, to rush down and come into church and then to rush off again. The easier way will be just stay in Balik Pulau the whole day. You know, Pastor Edward will not allow you to do that. So whether it's by compulsion you came or not, anyway, you have to be here, right? But it is not out of convenience. Worshipping God is a commitment. It is a commitment. You have to say yes. No matter what it takes. Even if it rain, thunderstorm, I will be found in a house of God. There are a lot of people say, I cannot come to church because it's raining. Is that a good enough reason? I would say you cannot come to church unless an emergency happened or you're so sick you cannot get out of bed. Otherwise, it is a commitment to come and see and worship our Father. Let's see 4:4-6, Ephesians. The book of Ephesians explained very well the church of God. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's quite a mouthful. Let's look back. There is one body. There is one spirit. Coming into the church of God is a celebration of that oneness in that spirit. You know that old song that says, there is one body, there is one God. Ken, you're shaking head. You're not so young. Come on. There is one body only, the universal body. But collectively in your locality, we comprise of the local body. So being in a local church is very, very crucial. And in the family, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians 2:19 says that we are no longer foreigners or aliens, but we are fellow citizens. We are God's people. We are members of God's household. That's what Ephesians 2:19 says. We are members of God's household. And that's why the picture of family comes to the mind. Rather than an organization or an institution, but the church of God is a family. You say, family? I don't even like this person sitting next to me. Like I say, whether you like it or not, you see each other in heaven. So we better like it now because it's for eternity. You know, it's for eternity. Like I say in my last message, you can hop church, you can shop for church. There are many churches in town everywhere you go. You don't like this church, you can go to another church. But, and unless you come to the point and say, God help me love this person, there's only one heaven. Only one. You can't choose. We will meet. By and by, someone says, we will meet. So the fellowship of God's people is for common goals and for a common mission. And coming together as a church like this, as a family, to share life, the best picture that I can think of is the Antioch church in the book of Acts. And I just simply love Acts. The book of Acts, how people come together, how people sell their possessions so that nobody is in need. The church was never in need in the early church, you know, in the Antioch church. No one was in need because they sold their possession and they share it out. They eat, they worship, they sing, they pray, they partake in the Lord's Supper. They enjoy the word of God that has been taught. They sit at the apostles' feet and drink in the Spirit of the mighty God. And they strengthen one another. They encourage one another in the presence of God. That is the purpose of the existence of church. And when we are strengthened, then we can go out and be the light. Be the light to a dark world. Why do you think you're playing floorball this weekend? So that you can be the champion and make Penang proud? Of course, that's one. But the vision is that you will be the light in the sports arena. And thankfully, God has answered our prayer over the 12 years that many disciples were made through the floorball ministry. And we give all glory to God. Amen. I sat there on Friday and I said, God, show me. But I can only keep thanking God for His faithfulness. That when you strengthen each other in the Lord, when you go out, you make disciples of all nations. You go out and make disciples. It's not good enough to get someone saved. We have to make disciples. That is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to make disciples of all nations. Coming into the house of God every week, during celebration, is also to celebrate the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. To celebrate the risen Lord. To celebrate what God has done on the cross for us. I know there must be a balance. I was raised, or I came to the Lord in a very, very conservative church. And when we walk into the church, no one talk. Yes, no one talk. No, hi bro, give me high five. No. Everybody walks in, find their seat, and always is an unwritten code. That's my seat. You know, you go in, and you look for your seat, and then you sit down, and then you meditate. And this solemn mode. But there's such reverence and awe for that God, you know, that God, that reverence. I enjoy that. But I know in our modern church, right, we come in, sometimes it's like pasar malam like that, you know, very noisy. So sometimes people say, where is the balance? No, we have to find our balance. Because the place, if we're not careful, Sunday worship is not a celebration. It becomes a solemn day. Because we have to remember that, yes, Jesus Christ died for me, but we don't go and celebrate His death, but we go and come, I mean, to celebrate His resurrection. So sometimes, you know, if we go into that extreme, we go in, you know, we thank God. God, thank you for dying. Thank you for dying on the cross. But we have to remember that Jesus Christ is risen. And we partake in that resurrection. Because His word tells us, Paul tells us, that we are seated in the heavenly realm next to Jesus Christ. That even as you partake in His death and crucifixion, We partake in his resurrection and we are placed next to Jesus Christ to rule with him in the heavenly realm. That is our position. Please do not forget that your position is in the heavenly realm. Are you with me? And when you live your life as a Christian, knowing that your position is seated next to Christ, it changed the whole dimension of your worship. It changed the whole dimension of your service. It changed your whole dimension of coming to church. Because you've been given that position of honor and authority. Not that we earn it, but by his grace we've been given. That's who we are. We come in to celebrate Jesus Christ. And so when you come to church celebration, we say it is a commitment. And we say that you have to be immersed. So it's like a big tank. And if you are one effervescent tablet, plum, plum, whatever, however you want to, tum, and you go, psst, it's a big pool where you become diluted and merged together. That's not enough. That's not enough because you cannot be really effective in your communication and relationship with every single person in the church. Maybe it's easier in a small church like this. You can see, oh, someone's missing today. Oh, this person is not here. You know, and I hope that if you notice someone is not here, you will pick up the phone and call the person and check on the person and why the person is not here and not leave to the leaders to do the job per se. Because if the church is collectively a body, then everybody should be plunged in to be responsible for what happens in the church. But in a big church, in a mega church, you wouldn't know who's missing. And that's when the connect group becomes very, very crucial, even more in a big church. And I'm not saying, oh, this is a small church, so no need to go to connect group, okay? I don't care. Okay, Posse, Claire, you know. But being in a connect group, we scale down. The immersion gets deeper because the tank is smaller. You drop the same tablet, you will be more concentrated. You will be more involved in a smaller circle. You'll be joined together and you begin to relate in a different level. You will build close rapport. You will establish relationship that you will never establish in a big group such as this. Or sometimes there's no relationship. You walk in and you walk out after service. I remember when I was a young Christian, I used to sneak into the church. Hopefully nobody sees me because I go there to just worship God. And then very quickly when the message ends, and then I'll quickly sneak out so that I don't have to talk to anybody. Or someone is laughing, right? You're feeling it. Ouch, ouch. Until one day, the youth leader, my youth leader then, my youth director, we don't call pastor, my youth director, none other than Edward Lim, came and sat next to me and says, would you join the youth in front? I said, no, thank you. You know, I give all sorts of excuses for not going in front because I was so scared to befriend people, to get to know people. Because when you are in touch, you become vulnerable. And I don't like it. And I know that some of you don't like it too. We don't like to open up. We don't like to tell people what happens in my life. I don't like you checking on me, what I do today. And I know that in that time, in that youth group, now that church is not too big, it's about 100 odd people. And I know the youth are very gelled together. They just know each other's life. They just know what happens in each other's life, tomorrow what you're doing. And they eat supper almost every night. You know, they are that close. So I was very afraid, you know, that my privacy will be gone if I go and sit with the youth. So I give all sorts of excuses. I say, I'm not going in front. And then my youth leader say, okay, then today I sit here with you. I said, okay. Then he says, but today I sit here with you. Next week, you sit in front with the rest of the youth. Huh. Because I'm a woman of integrity, right? So I say, okay, you want to sit here? Okay. Next week, I'll go in front. Fine. Fair deal, right? Fair deal. But next week, when I sat in front, I'd experience a very awesome experience that I never felt when I was right behind. There was something that's different sitting in front. Because I engaged better, I was more attentive, but it feels like the front always have a greater anointing. I say it feels like, huh? I say it feels like. Agree? Those of you always sit in front. It feels like. So after that, I say, huh, why do I sit behind every week and then try to sneak out? And so from then onwards, I never can sneak out because I have to pass the whole row of uncle and aunties before I can come out. So because the youth will occupy right in front. And so that's how I began my intimate relationship with the Lord and with God's people. I begin to open up. And of course, it is a process of growing. Christ is a perfect God, period. But the church is not a perfect body, period. You will never ever find a perfect church. But God is always perfect. Ephesians 4:12-13 says that we are to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He says that we are to be equipped to build up the body until we reach unity. Meaning to say that we have not reached the full unity. We have to make effort to continue to make that unity happen. Unity is in the Lord, yes, but we need to work on it to strengthen that unity. Because we can never be alike. Even my sisters, we have so many likes and dislikes. Penny and Selena cannot be the same. So we grew up because, of course, I'm the older sister. I always give in, you know. So I don't really fight with her. But I know siblings fight a lot. Because this, I want this, you want that. And it happens in churches as well. I remember I always tell Penny, it always, botat one, you know. Cannot do business with you. Because every time when we go out, because my parents say just order one drink, like share can really. Like little children, you just share. So she always finish. Then I just get a little bit. I say, always share with you means I get a bit only. Yes, I've forgiven her. So what I mean is, this is the attitude when we come into the church. We always compare. We always play the comparison game. Whether it's gifting, service, I don't know, your likes, dislike, preferences. It's like a sibling rivalry. Because if this is a family of God and brothers and sisters in Christ starts fighting, it is just a picture of sibling rivalry. And so when you find that it's difficult to give in, then look up. Look up to Jesus. Look up to the Father. Look up to the Father and say, what would you have me to do, Father? Because if that person is my brother or that person is my sister, and we go on fighting like this, there is no end. So Heavenly God, what do I do? So when it's hard to forgive, when it's hard to love someone, just look at our dad. Just look at our dad. And the more we look at Jesus, the more we look at God, it becomes easier. And so I know some of you don't like to go to Connect Group because it is a place where you become vulnerable. But the focus of the celebration time is the unity with and in Christ, to look at the perfect Christ. But in the smaller group, the immersions gets deeper, the involvement gets thicker, relationships are built, and therefore stepping on each other's toes is also higher possibility. But we can look at Jesus and how he drew the 12 disciples. He has his own connect group. I know some churches call it G12 system. The G12 system means you have your 12, and out of that 12, that individual 12 will gather their 12, and that 12 will gather their 12, and they gather their 12, and grow all the way to the grassroots, and that's how they grow church. So it is a sample model, like, for connect group. Matthew 20:17. Jesus took them, the disciple, aside. He took them aside. So in the connect group, the CG leader will take the group aside. They will be set apart from the rest and they will concentrate on this group to give them better attention, to give them better communication. And it's in that place you'll be, in this enclosed group, you begin to get to know one another in a deeper level. You communicate differently. And that's when you will find your place of belonging, especially in a bigger church. Matthew 24 verse 3 says that the disciples came to Jesus privately. So this is an enclosed group. Your discussion is within that group. And therefore coming to CGs is not whether I can make it or not. Make it a commitment, because that is, call it your smaller family, your nuclear family. That in a big family like this, you have your nuclear family where you can communicate. And throughout the gospel, we can see how closely the disciples were with Jesus. The amount of time they spend with Jesus, that tight interaction they have with Jesus. You cannot be close. You cannot get to know people unless you spend time. If you spend time with gadgets, you will get close to your gadgets. And when you lose your gadget, you're going to mourn for it for a long time. Because all your data kaput. I know lah, y'all say I can back up, now got drive, right? Or clouds, whatever. I met a new friend last night through a floorball friend of Edward. And this new friend we met is from India. And his Indian slang is very thick, so we have to listen carefully. He's an Indian who resides in Hong Kong and travel a lot to Malaysia. And so we asked him, how is it like to be an Indian in Hong Kong? He says it's very tough because Hong Kong Chinese, they only have one thing that's precious in life, their handphones. He says Hong Kong Chinese is always with their handphone. There is no human communication. No friends. No coming out and hang out. No meeting new friends. Everything is only the handphone. And all they report through the handphone is where is it to get the latest food in town. So he says, I'm always looking at my friend's Facebook post of food and more food. Where to get food. He says, I don't really have friends. And so he enjoyed coming to Malaysia. He says, Malaysian Chinese are very different because you guys are so ready, so eager to hang out. And so he was so happy that we came out to eat with him, even though we don't know him. This is our modern generation. Possessions, materials become more important than human beings. How sad is it? I was told in Japan that they are so individualistic. I know some of you, I've told you this story. They actually have life-size dolls. My friend just went to Japan recently for vacation. She said it's so freaky because everywhere in the city, I see people with no friends, but taking their life-size dolls to the cafe, to the restaurant, walking on the street. I said, this is spooky, man. She said, yes, it is. It is freaky, but that is Japan. And I thought, it's not just freaky, it's very sad. I feel very, very sad when I heard that, because that's not the design of God for the human race. And so maybe Malaysians, we are a little bit better, because we still like to hang out for supper, we still like to sembang, we have mamak time. But we're catching up. We're catching up, right? We're inseparable with our gadgets. You better repent if you're one of them. And I'm serious. Because the gadget's supposed to serve you, not you serve the gadget. And so throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus spending time with his disciples. And so finding a connect group to be locked in and have a closer relationship than just a Sunday is very crucial. So if you belong to the youth group, which is up to 19 years old, or college and upper, college, university, you're in between. So we'll see how we divide you. But technically, right up to high school, then you fall into the youth CG. And there's 3 connect groups in the youth. Find one. Find one. And you got to work on it to get to know people. I work very hard to blend into the church that I was saved. And my attitude then was, I tell you, I come in, I sneak out. I come in next week, I quickly sneak out. How loud? People going to get to know me, right? And so, I used to complain to God, the church not very friendly, the youth not very friendly, the leaders are not friendly. I have all sorts of complaints, you know. And then, finally one day, the Lord spoke to me very gently. How about you being friendly? I'm like, okay. How about you start the conversation? How about you continue the conversation when people ask you, you don't say yes, no, for your arms. Then people don't know what else to say, you know, then they walk away. I say, how about you continue the conversation more than just yes and no? I say, I can do it. I'll try. Then I get a little bit better because I wasn't a talker. And then he says, how about you staying back after service and have coffee? Those days, they just, in my old church, only coffee and dry biscuits, that's all. So the youth always go to the nearby coffee shop to eat breakfast because church is 8:30, you know. Not 5 o'clock. Some of you can't even wake up for 5 o'clock service. But my church then was 8:30 a.m. So by 10 a.m., we're done with service. Then we go eat breakfast and then we come back for Sunday school and adult training class. And so I begin to blend in after coffee and biscuits. So only old people will hang around there. Then the youth will go and eat Hokkien mee, wonton mee, whatever mee. So I begin to go out with the youth and then I slowly learn to talk. And when you learn to share your life, people will also begin to open up. But if you always wait for people to ask you questions, they also exhaust all their questions, don't know what else. Which school do you go to? What job do you do? Do you like it? Not. You know, how many times new people walk in? You know, I send my hospitality team, they say, Pastor, I don't know what to talk lah. I don't know what else to talk. Everything talk already. So you have to learn how to approach people and you have to ask questions that will lead you or lead the person to talk more. Don't just ask questions for yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. Then your communication becomes very boring. You know, very boring. And then they say church people are very boring. They're very square. Some of you are very round, okay? So connect group is important. The CG for the young adults means up till 29 years old. Of course, some are older, some are younger, but that's just a cutout point, just a guideline for us. Then you see Claire. I'd just like to introduce you so that you know who are these people. And if you do not have a connect group, please go and ask them. So the youth connect group, I have JC. And Natalie, Natalie's upstairs. And Andrew, Thermin has gone out. Katrina, Ashlyn and Kaishan has gone out also because of floorball. And then Claire hates the young adults. And then we have the single adults, 30 and above. Bosim. Hallelujah. We have the family connect group for a while, but because of geographical reasons, we have stopped that for a little while, but we are praying to resume first, Uncle Peter. Okay, so we will have family connect group better. So these are the connect groups that you can look out for, but if you don't have a connect group, because connect groups meets on Friday night, Friday evening, except for Saturday for the youth. And if you don't have a connect group for now, how about join me in my boiler room at 9 p.m. to 12 midnight? Because although it's prayer time, but we just talked about it recently, it says that when you pray together, week in and week out, you cannot help but grow closer. Right? JC feels so sad like that. Could they stick with me? Thirdly is the core. Now the core group, when we talk about core, core talks about the centralized foundational component or part in an element. And usually it's made up of different properties from all those that's outside. This is the inmost thing, the inmost part that we're talking about. And therefore it's scaled down to a very intimate level. Now it is said by one author that spirituality is more intimate, more difficult to talk about than even sex. You're like, oh? That means to say that if I were to ask you, JC, how's your relationship with God? That is a tougher question than asking how is your sexual life. Not JC, okay? Generally. Maybe in church you try to discern, you don't talk about sex. Huh? Oh, it's a taboo word. No, sex is a beautiful thing. Smeared by the world outside. But I worked in the hospital last time. Doctors and nurses and medical staff, they talk about sexual relationship like nothing. I learned so much then as a single lady because my colleagues were talking about all their stories during our shift. But if you were to ask them, how's your relationship with God? Now, that's a tough question because it deals what? It deals with the core person. When you ask somebody, how intimate are you with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's more difficult to answer than asking a person, how is your sexual life? When I first read that book, I didn't quite agree. I was very, very young then, probably 19, 20. But when I started working in a hospital, I'm like, oh, it is really very true. Because all my colleagues talk about their relationship like so casual. When I was in the gym in one season, faithfully going to the gym with Pastor Edward, and during break time when we take a drink in the lounge, I would hear people in my next table talking about their night with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. So casually. So loudly. Not just to their friend, but next table also can hear. And I will wonder to myself, wow, people can talk about that so easily. But when you ask deeper question about spirituality, it is even harder to talk about. I'm not asking, how are you? Then you say, ah, good lah, okay lah. But if you really tackle that question, how is your relationship with the Lord? It is a very, very tough question. What is God saying to you this week, today? What is God dealing with your character? You don't always tell people, right? You don't always tell people what God tells you. And so being immersed in the core group is bringing two or three instead of a big CG of about 8-10 people. You scale it down. It means to say the tank becomes smaller and you drop that effervescent tablet, that relationship, that tank become very highly concentrated. That means you don't get to run away. Your core can be just two person or it can be three. The flavor becomes thicker. Mount Transfiguration. That episode described in Matthew 17 verse 1 to 13. Can we look at that? Matthew 17, 1 to 13. At that mountain, Christ revealed his glory. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. Only three disciples. Out of 12 disciples, Jesus took three. And led them up a high mountain by themselves, and there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said, don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah come and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Now, in this event, it was a revelation of Christ's glory to three chosen disciples, 3 out of 12. So this is his core group that he chose to be intimate. And it was a powerful time for them when the voice spoke. It was a powerful encounter for the three disciples. So Jesus had his core group too. And so not just belonging to CG, coming down to the last level, the most intimate level, in a church life, is finding your core group. So if you have not found a CG, don't worry about your core yet. Go to CG first, okay? Find a CG to go to first, and then you worry about your core. So if you have been long enough in church, then pray and ask God, "God, who can I find to be my core?" Or if you don't have to always have the leader coming to you, "Do you want to be in my core group?" Wow, so official. Don't have to. But if you find that you click with someone, you can form a core group. Not a place for you to gossip. Because I'm telling you, this is concentrated. So gossip can become intensified too, you know. So it's not a place for gossip, but it's a place for mutual encouragement. It's a place of accountability and commitment. And so this season, I have prayed through and asked God to show me who I want to spend the extra time with apart from the leaders that we are mentoring. And the Lord brought to mind and brought to my life a few people to do personal discipleship, meaning to say that I spend time with them doing Bible study and talking through very difficult questions that confront them in this season of life. And so that can be my core, because we are going right into the intimate things that we cannot discuss in a CG. And that takes time. But this kind of things you do is for eternity. So I want to encourage you to pray and ask God, who can you? If finding two or three is hard, then find one, just one. So if you meet one person in a week, I think not too much, right? Not too much, right? I know it's very hard to find time. I struggle with it too. But because it's important to me and I know it's important to my God, and so I lay down those time and say, "No matter how hard it is, God, you help me to manage my time so that I can see these people." And so I have right now 4 people that I do Bible study every week with. And it is very hard to find time. Because some weeks this person cannot, some weeks this person cannot. And then sometimes I cannot, sometimes they cannot. So we locked in every week. This is the time we're going to be committed to, unless an emergency comes up. And I'm seeing the fruit of that simple time. Sometimes we don't have time to discuss the entire Bible study that we were meant to do. But even in tackling 1-2 questions in their Bible study material that lead us to talk about very intimate things or challenges in their life, that is enough. And so may I encourage you to ask God for one person that you can be committed and accountable to. If the one who do Bible study, then just to be accountable, to pray, to be prayer partners. It is not just essential, but it is crucial to be thoroughly immersed in each other's lives. That is church life. That is church family. I never understood until I started being immersed in my first youth group. I used to think, Ayo, how come Edward knows so much about his youth? Well, you know, when is their tuition? When they have no transport? When they argue with their parents? He was so involved. He was immersed in their life. So I knew it. I knew when God asked me to marry this man, my life would be turned upside down because I have so much to do alongside with him. So it comes back to accountability and commitment. Accountability is the willingness to accept the responsibility. And commitment is an act or a promise to be loyal or to work towards something or towards someone, to give that support. And in a church family, we need loyalty, we need accountability, we need commitment. Not just so the church will grow, but first of all, so that we will grow. Because if we don't grow, the church cannot grow. And it's important that we grow. Because we are living in the last days. And I know that accountability and commitment is two elements that is neglected in our days. People walk in and out marriages. People walk in and out and change job as they like. I don't like my boss. I have a fallout. I walk out. I have a fallout in my marriage. I walk out. That is the attitude of modern people. When we don't like it, we walk out. So we don't like this church, we walk out. It's okay. You can find another church, like I say, but there's only one heaven. So learn to just work things out. So the same attitude, we walk in and out marriages and relationship and jobs and occupation. We do the same thing in church. Sometimes people walk out of church, not because they don't like the whole church. They just don't like one person. Because one person, every Sunday I go, I will see that person. How long? Go to this church. Then you switch church. But you don't deal with that baggage. You take that baggage to another church. There will always be someone that you don't like in the other church. And another church. And another church. Yes? And maybe you are the person that people don't like. They have to bear with. We always think that, you know, we don't like this one, that one. Maybe we are the person that people don't like. So we really have to learn to be committed to a cause. We have to be accountable to one another's life. And that scale down from a big Sunday service to a CG down to the core team. And it's in that core intimacy that you will grow by leaps and bounds. Yes, the church and the leadership has a part to play to make you to be on the lookout for new people to lead you to belong to the church. But it is also every individual's responsibility to want to jump in and plunge in and be immersed, to go in and merge, right? You don't like somebody to just push you into the swimming pool, right? I know some of you like to do that, especially to Penny, who is scared of water. But you don't like someone to just grab you and plunge you in. But you yourself must want to jump in. And so it's not effective when people ask you, come la to CG, come la, Sunday service, come la, come la. You yourself must want to come. And you got to check your heart. Why do I come to church? Why do I go to CG? I was just telling the Friday Boiler Room people, sometimes it feels like you give 3 hours every Friday to come and pray and intercede for people, for the city, for the community, for the church. But I felt last week God was saying that you come, first of all, to seek me. Don't think that you waste 3 hours every week sacrifice for intercession. But you're coming into my presence. The first person that benefit is you being found here. Amen. And so my challenge to you today is make a priority, not convenience to come to church every Sunday. Block out that time. I have many people who tell me, when I check on them, why are you not in church? Are you okay? You know, any emergency or something happened to you? Are you sick? Say, no, pastor, my friend called me. I have a movie date. I say, but didn't know you 5 o'clock is your time with God? You see, when people tell me like that, you know that it's not a priority. So if you don't make a priority, there will always be other commitment that will draw your attention to. But you block that time out and learn to say no to the many distraction and attraction around you. After a while, it'll be very natural for you to come to church every Sunday. Yes? And once you tick off Sunday, make sure you find a CG to belong. And once you tick off the CG, find within your CG, your core group, or maybe it's not necessary that it has to be in your CG, but outside. And so if you are a visitor today and you don't have a church to belong to, may I encourage you to find out the CGs. Talk to us. Talk to me after service. Don't run off. We have Bible study later on, but we'll have fellowship upstairs. Just only one caution. There are many set up upstairs. Just don't bang down. There are tunnels. There are rough here. Don't trip and fall. So just be more careful. Okay? Talk to us. But if you have been here long enough, then make sure you're immersed thoroughly. But if you are a visitor from another place and you have a church already, may I also encourage you to be proactive in whichever church that you belong to. If you run with the church vision, run with your total commitment. Not for the pastor's sake, but for God's sake. Because when you learn to serve your pastor's vision or the church vision, you yourself will be blessed. That is the biblical principle. You will reap what you sow. Amen. I'd like the worship team to come up. I'd like just us to spend a very short quiet time with the Lord, just you and yourself, and ask God where you are in your church life. Who you can identify to be your core. Who can be your prayer partner. Who can you call when emergency come? Some of us, when something happened, we don't even know who to call for prayer. Father, we search our hearts before your presence even now. God, we first want to be vulnerable to you. We look to you, Jesus, and no one else. Search us and every anxiety in us. Father, we come to you with all our weaknesses and lay it down on the cross. Father, we want to learn to trust you and to trust one another. Father, we don't want to come to church with a mask on. Father, we want to be who we are meant to be. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Help us find our base and our belonging. Help us to love and be loved. Help us to belong and to also create that space for others to belong. Help us to love across our differences. Empower us to worship you not out of convenience, but out of commitment. Jesus, you are committed to us. And we want to be committed to you and your people. Father, as we stand in your presence, we want to be vulnerable to you, Jesus. We open up ourselves right to the core of our spirit and we lay it down at the cross. Lord, this is our strength and this is our weaknesses. You will teach us, Lord, to be vulnerable to each other in the church, in the CG, in our core group, in our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The Lord, you will teach us to love across our differences. The Lord, you will teach us to trust. In your presence, I rebuke, I break down every mistrust, every misunderstanding. And I ask, O God, for spirit of forgiveness to take place in our heart, in our spirit. Father, this is your house. This is where we belong. And we ask of you today that we plant our feet strongly, securely in this house to make a commitment to be accountable to you, Jesus, to grow ourselves and to grow one another for the glory of Jesus Christ. Impart to us, O Lord, that love for one another. Impart to us that trust, Lord. Enable us to trust one another. Enable us to be honest with each other. Enable us to speak truth in love. Enable us to be able to do that with your wisdom and with your tactfulness. Father, create a safe place within your house, this very place, for us to express our individuality as we celebrate our diversity in the presence of the Almighty God. And we stand united to say, this is the house of God. This is my Father's house. This is my family. And I'm committed to grow and to serve and to make you famous in Jesus' name. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.